on this episode of Rev Hang.
Holiday season, you know what that means, Nathan?
It's expensive.
Exactly. Get this, credit card debt. It's bad.
Some kind of deep state, deep Red Bull state deal or something.
Maybe, yeah, big energy drink is...
Big Austria. I will cuss at anyone in F1 if they want me to.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang for the final race of the year. We do still have one more episode after this for the end of year review. I am Nathan, if I haven't mentioned it, which I don't think I have. And alongside me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How's it going, Ben?
It's going pretty good. Just, pretty normal week going into what is going to be a busy continuation of the holiday season, but I'm excited. Been watching the snow forecast, got my skis all tuned up, and yeah, it was a long season for racing, so as much as I loved it, I'm also excited for a little break.
Yes, yeah, it was a long season. It does look like the mountains are gonna get some action here pretty soon, so hopefully you can get up there and christen those skis, because this is your first year with them, right?
Yep, with my very own skis, my very own boots. Very exciting.
Got all the gear. All right. Yep. This is not a winter sports podcast. This is a racing podcast. So let's dive in for the last race of the season. We do have some paddock news, with this being Abu Dhabi and us recording this a day after the race. First off, it seems all but confirmed that Perez will leave Red Bull at the end of the year. I don't think anybody is doubting that at this point. They just seem to be trying to come to some terms. I'm sure he has some demands in terms of his contract buyout.
But, he wants that Ricardo-style payout, for sure.
Exactly, yeah. Not from this year, though. The one from McLaren.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we will see who takes this place. Looks at the moment like it will be Liam Lawson. As much as I feel like Yuki Tsunoda at this point deserves a shot, as many shortcomings as he has, no pun intended, I think at this point he's earned his shot with the pool of drivers that they have available to them if they weren't able to poach Sainz.
He's still out driving Lawson.
Yes, consistently, yeah. This race wasn't exactly Lawson's fault, but throughout Lawson's time at RB, Tsunoda's outperformed him unquestionably. So, not sure. I don't know. I mean, Tsunoda just needs to get out of there. At this point, if he doesn't get the job now, he never will. So he needs to make that jump to Aston Martin if he can, once Honda moves themselves over. But if Liam Lawson takes the seat, then we will likely see Isaac Hadjar fill the other seat at RB, and that would not surprise me in the least.
Nope. Yeah, me either. But, how many times have we really said that Perez is for sure leaving Red Bull at this point in the season?
We've said it a lot this season and last season, but to be completely fair, every time we've said it has still, even though we say for sure, been complete speculation. And this time is a little different. So, it seems it's just way more news surrounding this than there ever has been. It's past the point of a rumor now. It's pretty clear what's going to happen. So,
yeah.
If we're wrong, then maybe clip this and come back next season. But I kind of would be really surprised. However,
I'm honestly scared if we're wrong at this point.
If we're wrong at this point, I don't know what's going on. There's something going on way behind the scenes there. That
some kind of deep state, deep Red Bull state deal or something.
Maybe, yeah. Big energy drink is controlling and pulling the strings.
Big Austria.
Here. Big Austria, yes. All right, so next up on our panic news, we have Magnussen leaving Haas and moving to BMW in the World Endurance Championship, which is very exciting for him.
Yeah.
I can't think of a really better jump for him. I mean, he's raced in Endurance before. He's raced the 24 Hours of Daytona. And, of course, his dad is a very prolific Endurance racer. So, I think
I'm excited that he at least gets to keep racing.
For sure. And I think it's a series
really in doubt, but
yeah, but I think it's in a series that, you know, he's definitely talented enough for. It has the pedigree. He can still go win Le Mans. Like, it's not like his career's over, which is really cool for him. And I think, you know, he'll have a lot of longevity if he chooses to in that series too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and it's still pretty high profile.
Oh, absolutely.
A little bit better suited to his style of racecraft too.
Yeah, he can crash into people and not end his race.
Yeah.
So, and there's not really front wings, so that's also nice because he goes through a lot of those. But all right, next up, Bottas has been rumored to move to Mercedes again as a reserve driver this time rather than a racing driver.
Please no.
It's probably gonna happen, but yeah, that's kind of an oof moment. He admitted in an interview after the race that moving to Sauber was a mistake.
Well, I think in the entire article, didn't it? Because I feel like we're looking at the same articles at this point. There's a singularity. But he was saying that signing a three-year contract was the mistake. Because it sounds like he was pretty happy when Fred Vasseur was still at Alfa Romeo, as it was.
Yeah, that's true.
That the big problem is that when Fred left, a lot of the things that he liked about the team also left.
Yeah, and the team kind of went downhill after that, so.
Yeah, so I probably could have told him that signing a three-year contract with Alfa Romeo was a bad idea, but.
Well, yeah, but that's hindsight's 2020, and we didn't know Fred Vasseur was going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, I guess Williams was a lot worse back then, too.
That's true. There are, everything I'm seeing is saying that Williams is going to be super competitive next year, and I'm not sure if I believe that.
Well,
but we'll see.
There will be a big advantage. I mean, they're essentially, they've spent the entire year and last year, it sounds like, revamping how they've gone about designing a car.
That's
so
true.
I could see some genuine, like, upgrades to the Williams car next year that make it maybe a little more competitive, or at least set it up to be more competitive as it goes through the season. Maybe like a McLaren style from the past couple of years.
I hope so. I mean, they did, yeah, they revamped all of their systems, so maybe with this full year being the first one where everything is set, then maybe it's good. I don't know. It's hard to say. Yeah. It's possible they just wrote off this year entirely a long time ago. So,
yeah,
who knows?
Hopefully they're only using Excel to organize, like, who's coming to the Christmas party.
Not to design their car. Yeah.
Yeah. Not for inventory control.
That is wild. Yeah.
I've tried that at a small company and it's really difficult. I don't know how you do that at a multi-million-dollar racing outfit.
Yeah, well, I mean, Excel is great for pulling reports off of the WMS system, but
yeah,
you kind of need
great
the
for
WMS
looking
system.
At data from other places.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, hopefully things get better for Williams. I do really want to see him do well, especially with Sainz there now. I think if they can have a strong midfield car where Sainz can actually race and score points consistently, I'd feel a lot better about Sainz moving to Williams than I currently do.
Yeah, although Sainz didn't seem super, I mean, he seemed kind of sad that he was leaving, but he seemed less sad at the end of the Abu Dhabi race than Leclerc did, which I think is funny. The guy at who gets to stay at Ferrari just looked dismal.
Yeah. I did notice that too. Sainz was definitely excited. Maybe not, he was sad to leave, but also I think excited to join Williams, which I did think was notable. Maybe he knows things we don't. I mean, surely he knows things we don't. Of course he does. So maybe that's a little hint as to what's to come with Williams, but we'll see. Moving on, Zhou Guanyu has been rumored to go to Ferrari as a reserve driver, which I guess makes sense.
Sure, I'm into it.
Sure.
Whatever. Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah, better than Schwartzman, I think, is for their last one.
I mean, I think he deserves to have some place in F1. I mean, he wasn't the slowest driver. He scored points on his first drive ever in Bahrain when he got signed last
year. This is true.
Year?
2 years
two
ago.
Years ago?
I think 22
How long has he
was
been
his
in
first
F1?
Race. I think this was his third year. Yeah. Time's flying, man. Yeah, thinking about
really
how
is.
This is like, who was it that was talking that was like, yeah, I'm entering my seventh year. I think it was like George Russell or something. It's like, what? So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was like his third year with Mercedes already. It's like, are you kidding me?
That's wild.
Yeah, so
yeah, I feel like if you gave Joe a good car, he'd be a decent midfield driver, I don't think he's one of the best, but I also think he probably has a little bit more to show than what he's gotten a chance to at the current Sauber team as we've seen it.
Yeah, probably comparable to like a Magnussen or maybe like a, I don't know. It's hard to tell with that Williams. I'd say Albon, but I mean, when the Williams is performing, Albon's been solid. So
yeah,
maybe, but also Albon has crashed a lot this year. So I don't know, but yeah, just I think he would be good in a midfield car. I think most drivers, rookies especially, that get kind of the short end of the stick in terms of what team they go to. I think the team you start at kind of also dictates a lot of how your career goes, depending on who you're driving next to. Also, you know, sometimes you can do great and at a bad team, like Charles Leclerc with Alfa Romeo in 2018, I believe, and then he moved to Ferrari the next year. But he was also driving next to Marcus Ericsson, who was never anything super special in F1. Of course, he did go and win the Indy 500, but yeah. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm rambling.
Is he better than Perez?
Is Joe better than Perez?
Yeah, is Joe Guan Yu better than Perez?
It's
not top of his game Perez, not Racing Point Perez.
Current
but
Perez?
Current 2024 Red Bull Perez.
That's a tough one. I would probably say he is better than 2024 Perez because 2024 Perez is driving a Red Bull and they're finishing in similar places every week.
Yeah,
so,
fair enough.
I don't know. It's hard. It's so impossible to know what's going on with that Red Bull, though, because Max is so much better than all of his teammates ever that it's really hard to place for that Red Bull, actually, as performance-wise. Like, that Red Bull could have been a midfield at best car, and then Verstappen just drove the wheels off of it.
Sorry, that was my dog dropping a tennis ball under my desk.
It's possible that you know, the Red Bull wasn't great and Verstappen was just that good, but who knows? It just seemed like there was a huge drop off in development after Miami when Adrian Newey was announced to be leaving the team. So that will play into my predictions for next season when we do those at the beginning of next year. But just to spoil it a little bit, I think Aston Martin is going to jump considerably.
Now that they have Adrian Newey?
Yeah, I don't think they'll be, you know, top of the pile, because Adrian Newey didn't design this car from the ground up, and he's just going to be doing the upgrades for next year, likely.
And Aston Martin has half of a driver right now.
Exactly. So, performance-wise, I wouldn't be surprised if they had, like, the fourth best car, especially as the season goes on and they continue their upgrades. But we will see. I'm hoping that this, because I've always liked Aston Martin as a car and a brand. I don't particularly love who runs the team. But I could see myself rooting for Aston Martin if they were good.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they do turn it around. I mean, I'm rooting for all these teams, really. You want to see every team have good moments, but that's just not how F1 works. Sometimes.
Yep. It's better since the cost cap area, at least.
I think so too.
Maybe an unpopular opinion. I don't know if that's unpopular or not, but
I think it has been better. Granted, we didn't start watching until right before the cost cap era started.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of experience with with pre-cost cap.
I guess I'm just saying things at this point, but
no, I think there's something to that, though. It seems like the gap, especially in the midfield, I don't know if it just ended up this way or if this is because of cost cap, but all the cars seemed way closer together this year. Like, every car was within a second of the leader, pretty much, on their best lap. I mean, sometimes it wasn't the case, depending on how a driver did, but there were races where all the cars were within a second. So, all right, let's move on. Let's keep this rolling. Verstappen was given community service in Singapore for swearing on live TV or on something that was going to be broadcast. So he's going to serve this community service punishment, I guess you could call it, by going to Rwanda. And before he accepts his driver's championship trophy at the event in Rwanda. He will be doing work with kids at a grassroots, like, motorsport, not company, but I guess program there, that helps kids get into motorsport. And I think that is actually really cool. So a lot less mad about that punishment now.
That it seems like it honestly sounds a lot like what I did in college.
Oh yeah, you did something like that.
Yeah.
Other than, like, I guess your Formula SE. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that was the Formula SE experience was essentially helping a bunch of kids build a grassroots race car. It's funny because I was one of the kids, but
yeah, I think this is like younger, like I don't know, maybe it isn't, but
it's more a dig at like haha and like Klamath Falls is Africa or Rwanda.
Oh, I see. I never lived there, so I think
taken a little. Yeah,
I guess maybe if I lived there, I would have gotten that side of it more. But I can see it, having visited you there once, I could see where that would that would come from.
Helping strange kids at a small university try to build a race car. Yeah, sure.
Same thing.
I guess I maybe labored that point a little bit too much, but we should move on.
Okay, let's move on. So yeah, community service I think is actually an awesome thing. And if they wanted to punish drivers for swearing by giving them community service to go support young driver development programs, I would actually be okay with them penalizing every time someone swears on live TV with a certain amount of hours of community service.
Yeah, penalize me. Send me to Rwanda to let me build a race car. That'd be sick.
There we go. You got it figured out, Ben. You just gotta
I will cuss at anyone in F1 if they want me to.
Get on ESPN and just let them have it.
Yeah. Ben Suliam?
Yes.
I'm gonna teach him some words.
You do that,
Ben. He's gonna send me to a place where I can build a race car with a bunch of kids, and it's gonna be so much fun.
That actually sounds awesome, yeah. And more with Verstappen. The last two are also about Verstappen. This one, Verstappen and Kelly Piquet are expecting a child. So Max Verstappen will be a father in less than 9 months. No one said how far along she is, but it's visible. So probably several months. We will see when that happens, but congratulations to Max Verstappen and Kelly Piquet. They will be having a child. And yep. It'll be a racing super baby because, of course, Kelly Piquet is the daughter of Nelson Piquet, the 3-time world champion. And Max Verstappen is himself a 4-time world champion. So we can expect at least 7 world championships from this child, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what that means.
And he will not be allowed to hang out with either of his grandfathers.
Oof. Crashing back down to reality, Ben.
Yeah.
Love it. All right.
Somebody's got to.
Verstappen and Russell have had beef all week since Qatar. We didn't even really cover it last week because it didn't seem as bad as it ended up being. yeah, Verstappen and Russell really went at it last week.
Absolute reality TV level. Talking like Jersey Shore.
It was pretty insane. Russell was like calling Max a bully. And then apparently Verstappen made Russell cry in the steward's room. And it was like, it was a lot, but Verstappen and Russell have serious beef after the qualifying fiasco in Qatar, and
I hope it lasts for the next 2-3 years.
I'm hoping they're rivals. We haven't had a real Verstappen rival since Hamilton in 2021, so of course it had to be a Mercedes driver.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Christian Horner and Toto Wolff are getting into it, so it's like the Red Bull-Mercedes rivalry is back on, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. Finally.
I love it. Yeah, it cooled off for a while, but now we're back, baby.
Mercedes isn't even fighting for constructors anymore. They're still beefing.
Awesome. Still beefing, yeah. All right, let's move into the race. We've lingered on news long enough. It's the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, the last race of the season. Let me go through the top 10 in qualifying to give you some context. First place, we had Lando Norris, followed by Piastri and Sainz. Fourth and fifth were Verstappen and Gasly. 6 through 10 were Russell, Hulkenberg, Alonso, Bottas, and Perez. Notably, Lewis Hamilton qualified horribly, ended up starting the race in 16th, and Leclerc also qualified horribly and then had a 10 place grid penalty because of a changed battery, so he ended up starting the race 19th. And Colapinto had a pit lane start for some reason, I think, or maybe he started on the grid. I think he might have taken new parts. I don't remember.
Took a gearbox, I think.
That's what it was. So, those are the notables. Let's move into the race. The McLarens both got good starts, but Verstappen crashed into Piastri into turn one, dropping them both to the back. They obviously were not too happy with each other. Leclerc gained 11 places in the first few turns with some absolute dive bombs. Bottas crashed into Perez in turn 6, which ended up breaking Perez's car and causing him to DNF his final race at Red Bull, most likely. So,
yep.
Is that two or three DNFs in a row? I think two.
Emily could not believe it when she saw Perez pulled over on the side of the course, one lap in.
Yeah, not fun for him.
Yeah.
So Verstappen got a 10-second penalty for the contact with Piastri. Bottas got a 10-second penalty for the contact with Perez. Then Piastri ran into the back of Colapinto, causing Colapinto to DNF and giving Piastri a 10-second penalty. Leclerc continued to make his way through the field up to P5 by lap 12. On lap 24, Lawson had a bad pit stop and left the pits with his front right wheel not completely attached. He had to stop again on the next lap to fix that. On lap 31, Bottas hit Magnussen, ending Bottas' race. He has a 5-place grid penalty in the next race he participates in, if he ever does one again. Hamilton made his way through the field up to P6 by lap 40. Piastri managed to salvage a point from the race, making it to P10, and Hamilton passed Russell on the last lap to get P4. So, results of the race. Lando Norris won this race fair and square, no questions asked, never really seemed to break a sweat. He was followed by Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc, who made his way up to the podium after starting, 19th? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, insane recovery drive.
Lewis Hamilton finished 4th after starting the race 16th. Also an insane recovery drive. Then we had George Russell 5th. 6 through 10 were Verstappen, Gasly, Hülkenberg, Alonso, and Piastri. 11 through 15 were Albon, Tsunoda, Zhou, Stroll, and Doohan. And our 16th place last finisher was Kevin Magnussen. And our 4 DNFs were Lawson, Bottas, Colapinto, and Perez.
Valtteri Bottas following the tradition of Finns who crash out relatively early into the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix for their last known F1 race.
The dude knew it was his last race, and he knew he was going to DNF, so he tried to make all of the other last race people DNF as well. Sending it into Magnussen and breaking
Kimi Räikkönen did the same thing. He crashed out early at Abu Dhabi.
He did.
His last race with Sauber. And we never heard from him again.
No, I don't think we even heard yet. He didn't say anything. There were no post-race anything.
He just peaced out.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done. So, very, got very...
Samsung's to promote.
Very Kimi Räikkönen of him.
Bringing right. Samsung to the Finns.
Okay. McLaren have won the world championship, if I can talk. McLaren won the world championship for the first time since 1998. And the constructors still hunting for that driver's title. However, they did win the driver's title in 2008 with Lewis Hamilton, so it hasn't been quite as long there. But congrats to McLaren for building the best car in the 2024 season for the first time in 26 years.
That's crazy that it's been that long.
It is. It's pretty wild. Yeah, I mean, it's almost been that long for Ferrari, too. I think, 2005, 7, maybe?
Yeah.
I know they won the drivers in 2007. I don't know if they won the constructors. I don't remember. I want to say McLaren did, but at the same time, they didn't because they got disqualified for Spygate. So, I don't remember who won. I think it was probably Ferrari. So, we'll see. We won't see.
Hoping this means that... McLaren no longer has to have as many sponsorships on their car and they can have an actual livery with all the prize money they've gotten.
Which team?
Did you drop that?
McLaren?
Yeah. Yeah, their livery wasn't as good this year as it has been in the past. I'll give you that.
It's a little sponsor heavy.
A little sponsor heavy. It has been for a couple of years, to be fair. But... Yeah. Yeah, maybe they won't need that as much next season, but they will anyway because money is fun.
Yeah, that's very true.
It was Ferrari in 2007, by the way.
Oh, nice. Good memory. So,
yes. Colapinto, Bottas, Magnussen, Zhou, and possibly Perez had their last race this week. So we are saying goodbye to possibly five drivers off the grid. A little sad, but also it means we're getting a lot of new drivers, which is exciting. I am excited for this rotation.
We had kind of a nothing burger last year with most of the drivers that were on the grid were set.
Yeah, there was no change.
Kind of nice this year to have a little turnover.
Yeah, for sure. There was, as we predicted, there was lots of silly season chaos this year. So that was fun to watch. And we will have a ton of new drivers. Ollie Bearman, Jack Doohan, probably Isaac Hadjar, Liam Lawson will continue. Who else am I missing? Kimi Antonelli. Is there anyone else new? That might be it.
I'm just trying to remember the names of drivers from the FP1.
Did I say Ollie Bearman? I think I said Ollie Bearman.
I think you said, yeah.
Yeah. So lots of new drivers, fun stuff. It was also Hamilton's last race with Mercedes, which is notable.
They made a bigger deal out of that than Bottas and Magnussen's potential last races in F1 ever, which I thought was interesting.
That's true. They didn't really mention the Bottas or Magnussen at all, which I think they should have at least given them a mention. Also, Hamilton was the only person who did donuts after the race.
Yeah, they acted like he was leaving. He's going to another team. He'll be here next year.
Right.
But everybody was like, oh, thank you, Lewis. You changed everything.
Yeah.
I was shocked. Especially Zach Brown, which I was like, you're going to see him next year. He will be in the garage right next year.
Yeah. I was shocked that he was the only one that did donuts. Like, yeah, usually a lot of people do donuts. So, especially if it's their last race or if they won. Like, Lando didn't do donuts. Piastri didn't.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. Usually, at the very least, the red champions do. So I was kind of shocked. Maybe they forgot. But
they haven't had a chance to do that before.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Know what it's like.
So anyway, it's Hamilton's last race with Mercedes. Big deal. He's been a Mercedes signed driver since 1998. And so, you know, it's been a hot minute. He's been with Mercedes for 26 years. He was, of course, with McLaren under Mercedes' power in the late 2000s and early 2010s. So this will be his first race in a car that's not powered by Mercedes. Or next year will be when he's at Ferrari. I'm interested to see how that partnership goes. For some reason, I really think that it's not going to go well, but that could just be... I don't know what that is, because I don't hate Lewis. It's just like...
We all saw how Sebastian Vettel ended his career at Ferrari.
Exactly, yeah. Things like that.
We don't want that for him.
Yeah. Hope he doesn't go and leave a stain on his legacy like Vettel kind of did. Not that Vettel did bad. He just never really won anything at Ferrari after he left Red Bull. So, all right, moving on. It's the last race of the year. It's a very good race-ish for the first, like, half, and then it was just kind of processional.
Yeah. Abu Dhabi is great, not for watching the racing, but for the results that come of the racing. And
yeah,
that's what makes it exciting.
It is exciting the whole time through, even if the race isn't great. If Abu Dhabi was put in the middle of the season, no one would ever remember that race.
They do have great fireworks, though.
They do have great fireworks, yeah. But it's kind of the... Everyone remembers Abu Dhabi every year because it's the last race. Usually it's when all the theatrics around the championship are, especially if it goes down to the last race. And now, you know, 2021 is kind of iconic and forever burned in everyone's memory, no matter which side of the aisle you sit on. So there's that. Lots of history there, I'll say that. But we are looking forward to next season. I think it'll be a good one as well. This was, you know, it doesn't have quite the storyline of 2021, but in terms of competitiveness, I think this is the best season of F1 I've ever watched. So,
yeah, I mean, this was the hardest year to make predictions out of the 3 years that we've been doing this. You've been doing this for 3 years.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's our third year doing this.
Yeah, but this is definitely the season where it was the hardest to make predictions. It almost felt like IndyCar at some points, which was refreshing.
Indeed. Yeah, that's a good way to say it. It was really hard to tell who was going to win every week when, you know, it just depended. Each car seemed to like different tracks. And so sometimes it was super competitive at the top. Sometimes Leclerc ran away with the race. Sometimes Norris did. Sometimes Russell did. Verstappen did for the first like third of the season. It's hard to tell. I mean, the first third of the season, it looked like it was just going to be 2023 part two.
Yeah.
But then it just completely
slightly
broke
lower open. Margins, but
yeah,
not to be.
Not at all. So let's go through the championship standings one last time. I guess we probably will next week too, but during the season one last time. Max Verstappen won the championship with 437 points. Then we had Norris with 374, Leclerc with 356, Piastri with 292, Sainz with 290, Russell with 245, Hamilton with 223, Perez with 152, Alonso with 70, Gasly with 42, Hulkenberg with 41, Tsunoda with 30, Stroll with 24, Ocon with 23, Magnussen with 16, Albon with 12, Ricciardo with 12, Behrman with 7, Colapinto with 5, Zhou with 4, Lawson with 4, Bottas with 0, Sargeant with 0, and Doohan with 0.
Sargeant no longer last because Doohan had one race under his belt.
So Logan Sargeant did not finish the championship in last place. And neither did Bottas. But we did have 24 individual drivers this season, which is the most since I've started watching F1.
Yeah, and 21 point scorers.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. That's crazy. Yeah. So, again, very good season. I mean, we had everybody over 100 points down to 8th place. So that means 4 cars were competitive this year, really. And, And then Alonso survived at 70. Like, he got that 70 in the first half of the season and then nothing.
Yeah.
He did score frequently still, but it was like maybe 9th or 10th.
Picking up one or two points here and there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Perez in 8th place. Almost 300 points behind Verstappen. Not a good look for him. So anyway, let's move on. Positive things. McLaren won the Constructors' Championship with a cursed number of points. 666 points total for their season. Then Ferrari with 652, Red Bull with 589, Mercedes with 468, Aston Martin with 94, Alpine with 65, Haas with 58, Racing Bulls with 46, Williams with 17, and Sauber with 4. So Alpine ended up snagging that 6th spot after a horrible start to the season. Actually pretty insane comeback, especially late at the end of the year. Of course, they had double podium, I think, in Brazil.
Literally had 3 races to catch up, and they did.
Yeah, pretty nuts. I think most of those 65 points, I would say probably at least 40 of them were scored in the last 3 races.
Yeah.
So, pretty crazy comeback from them. Pit Stop Championship, Lando Norris won this week with a time of 2.08 seconds, followed by Sainz, Tsunoda, Russell, Hamilton, Hulkenberg, Magnussen, Gasly, Doohan, and Stroll, all scoring points. Verstappen had his fastest pit stop was 13.5 seconds after serving that 10-second penalty. Then Bottas, in true Sauber fashion, had his fastest pit stop at 21.54 seconds.
They wouldn't let him go without one more.
No, they would not. and even their fastest pit stop of the day, Guanyu Zhou, was 3.78 seconds. Gotta love that Sauber, that pit crew.
They really said put them boys in a situation.
Yeah. Okay. Standings for Pit Stop Championship. We had Sergio Perez win the championship at 312, followed by Verstappen at 240, Norris at 238, Leclerc at 210, Piastri 195, Sainz 152, Hamilton 150, Tsunoda 146, Russell 134, Ocon 123, Alonso was 79, Ricciardo was 78, Bottas was 74, Zhou was 70, Gasly with 52, Stroll with 38, Lawson was 29, Hulkenberg with 26, Albon with 23, Magnussen with 23, Sargeant with 11, Colapinto with 4, Behrman with 2, and Doohan with 2. Lots of names and numbers this week. I apologize, listeners.
Yeah.
Constructors.
It's tough keeping up with it. My eyes start to glaze over once you get past 20.
Yeah, I know. We only have to do this like once every year. I like the completeness of it. Rounding it off. Everybody knows what's what. You can also go to revhang.com and look at the spreadsheets yourself if you'd like to.
Wow.
Shocker. It's not like I plug that every episode. All right.
Hey, it's important.
It is, of course. Please give us the zero ad revenue because there's no ads on revhang.com. Fun. We're a motorsports
that
page with
happen
zero
very
ads.
Often. Yeah.
Yeah. For now. All right. Constructors. Constructors.
Just wait till we get marketable.
Right. Exactly. Red Bull. I won't read all the numbers to save the viewers, but it was Red Bull, McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes, RB, Alpine, Sauber, Aston Martin, Haas, and Williams. Red Bull ran away with it. Overtake of the week. This one goes to a driver who we have not mentioned ever on the... Actually, we may have a couple years ago, but for different reasons. Overtake of the week goes to Leah Block. For her overtake on Nuria Marti, on lap 11 of the third F1 Academy race, which I just happened to be watching because I was up late and nothing else was on. it was actually
like
an entertaining
infomercial.
Race. What's that?
It's like the infomercials. You stay up too late, and that's all it's on.
Exactly. Yeah. Sort of like infomercials, but this race was actually very entertaining to watch. So.
Oh, good.
I don't know if I'd highly recommend F1 Academy. I haven't watched enough to really know how good it is, but sometimes it's actually more fun when all the drivers aren't like in different machinery and at the highest level. So
it's like the Star Wars Rebels of F1 racing.
How so?
Well, if you think of F1, like the mainline F1 as like the Clone Wars, but like the really good season. Then F1 Academy is like Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right.
Makes sense if you think about it.
Yeah, if you think about it.
Yeah, just think about it.
Just think about it. Anyway, Leah Block, congratulations. It was a fantastic overtake around the outside in the Latifi complex. So, yeah, good stuff. Any real fans know where the Latifi complex is.
I was going to point out, yeah. Is that still pointed out on Google Maps if you go to it?
It might be. I know something's there. There is like a geocache.
Tagged as where Hamilton lost the championship.
Something like that, yeah.
Or something like that.
I have named it the Latifi complex and everyone knows what I'm talking about. So
or Lewis Hamilton's hopes and dreams or something like that.
Yeah, RIP. all right, so let's move into our last... predictions, even though we're not making predictions this week because the season's over, but we will go through the predictions that we did have last week for Abu Dhabi. Let's remind everybody of the top five. It was Norris, Sainz, Leclerc, Hamilton, and Russell. What did you say, Ben?
I had Norris, Verstappen, Leclerc, Sainz, Piastri, and Gasly as my dark horse.
Nice. Got Norris and Leclerc correct.
Yeah.
I had Verstappen, Norris, Leclerc, Russell, Sainz, and Alonso is my dark horse. So I got Leclerc correct, but that's it.
There you go. We both got Leclerc.
Yes, we
did. How about that?
Fastest lap. What did you say, Ben?
I had Norris for this one.
And I had Piastri, and it was Kevin Magnussen.
Why was it Magnussen?
The guy went on to soft tires on like lap 33 and made them last 20 some odd laps.
That's what? Like the third time we've seen soft tires been put on a car.
It's like
in the entire season.
I know.
That is something. Maybe I'll bring that up during the closeout for the season. But they never used soft tires. They literally used either intermediates, mediums, or hards, and that's it.
Yeah, They have to fix the tire problem. They have to do something to make it more interesting. And just kind of mix up the strategies a little more.
Yeah.
So hopefully they do that. Driver of the day, what'd you say, Ben?
I had Doohan for this.
I had Verstappen, and it went to Leclerc, deservedly so.
Yep.
Guy Although started 19th.
Bro is so sad, he probably doesn't think he deserves it.
Probably not. That poor guy. He couldn't have done any better. The guy, yeah. He drove the wheels off that thing. Started
19th. I
think 19th.
He wanted WCC more than the team did, honestly.
Yeah, probably. The team didn't even seem mildly perturbed by losing the championship. Yeah. It was wild. Like,
yeah, they're like, third place, that's pretty good.
Yeah. It's like your signs on signs this radio after the race. Great drive, man. P2 is awesome stuff. And it's like, you guys just lost the championship. There's no like consoling him, like, oh, it's okay, man. We'll get him next year. It was like, good job, man.
Leclerc
P2,
was
we lost.
Rocking,
good
like,
job.
Leclerc is rocking the cowboy bebop, leaning against the wall, sadly.
Yeah.
For like 3 minutes on camera.
He really was.
The race.
Oh, all right. That rounds off predictions for this week and season. Ben, do you have any words of wisdom for our listeners?
Yeah, it's holiday season, and holiday season, do you know what that means, Nathan?
It's expensive.
Exactly. You're so in sync. Oh my gosh, this is incredible.
I think everybody experiences this, Ben.
But get this, credit card debt.
Ah, yes.
It's bad.
Bad stuff.
I try to avoid it. Speaking from experience, as somebody has leaned on that in a couple of tight situations during college, it's definitely best to avoid it. So, get creative. There's definitely been a positive push towards, alternative ways to give gifts or cheaper ways to do it that don't require you taking out a literal mini loan with high interest in order to pay for things that people will just as much love your time and attention and maybe like a batch of cookies or something made for them. I'm not saying you have to make cookies, but something like that. There are other ways to not go into micro debt this season.
Good stuff. Heartwarming and informative, Ben.
Actual wisdom.
Actual wisdom. Life wisdom. All right. Thank you for that, Ben. We'll have one more round of Ben's words of wisdom in a few weeks' time. But
yeah, ask
now,
me for wisdom right after I do the hot sauce, actually.
I will do that. Wisdom. Don't drink hot sauce.
Yeah, it'll be a clip. You can put it on shorts.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching and listening to this episode of Rev Hang. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing, which there is none, I needed to take that out of the outro. If you want to see the calendar of past races and possibly updated for future races in a couple months, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on Twitter or Instagram or YouTube or anywhere, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow our page on any socials at RevhangMedia. We'll be back in a few weeks at an undisclosed time, probably post-Christmas, to wrap up Season 3 of RevHang with our season review podcast, where Ben will be drinking hot sauce, and I probably will too. But until then,
wow.
I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
Take it easy.